This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. So we will continue our study bi'ilnillah of the Shama'il of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We left off in the middle of hadith number 8. And so we will continue our study insha'Allah ta'ala and hopefully finish number 8 by the end of this session, bi'idhnillah. Now, so again, this is the hadith narrated by Sayyidina Hassan bin Ali that he asked his maternal uncle Hind ibn Ali Hala. And I believe that we read towards the latter part of what would be page 9 of the book. So his complexion was fair and luminous. And so this is the meaning of Azhar alone. There was a luminosity to his blessed skin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that gave him this otherworldly sense. His blessed forehead, Jabin, was wide, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And we will also read the notes that we have here. Oh, that's actually where we left off, was there. His blessed eyebrows were arched, thin, long, and full, perfectly shaped without connecting. And so in other narrations, it seems like when people looked at, he would have had a connecting eyebrow, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but there actually was a thin space between them. The one who came close and looked closely found that they were not connecting. But he had the most beautiful of eyebrows on his most beautiful forehead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were slightly arched, and they were arched and they were thin. They were long and full, perfectly shaped without connecting. And now, then he goes on to say, between them there was a vein that anger would cause to pulsate. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when he would become angry, and of course that his anger was only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had a blessed vein of his that would protrude, that they would see when our Prophet was angry. And we always have to remember is that it's important that we be balanced in terms of our anger, and our Prophet taught us how it is that we should be angry, never for the sake of our own selves, but for just causes, of course, to protect people and to be protected, to ward off harm from evildoers. Anger has its place. And if we don't have a sense of righteous indignation when there's wrong, there's something wrong with us. So when the Prophet was angry, they would see this blessed vein between that two blessed eyebrows, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he moves to a description of his nose. His blessed nose was prominent, long with a thin tip and a slight curvature in the middle. It was aquiline. And you can go online and look what that means. Just type aquiline nose of a male so you can be spared pictures. His blessed nose was prominent, long with a thin tip and a slight curvature in the middle. It was aquiline. A light rose from it. One who did not look closely at him would think that it was raised high and straight with the tip of the nose slightly prominent. And because of the light emanating from the Prophet's blessed nose, those who did not look closely would initially think that it was straight. But up close, they would see that it was slightly curved in the most beautiful way. And then he says, his blessed beard was full and dense. And we know that this is a sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to grow the beard. And that if we are unable to grow the beard like some of us, inshallah ta'ala, we at least that do so with the right intention. And one of the blessed moments of my life, when you learn from the real great scholars of this ummah, I remember, alhamdulillah, I was able to study the Shama'il with Umar Abu Dharraj, and he was someone who embodied it. He was so merciful, so gentle, so caring for his students. And I remember on one occasion, I was very young when I first went there. I was only 20 years old. And sometime after that, when I was studying with Marabit, I came to read my loha with him. And on this occasion, there wasn't anyone else around. And so he looked both ways. He looked to the right, then he looked to the left. And he got really close to me. And he kind of leaned forward and just had this beautiful, gentle, fatherly, lovingly look on his face. And he says to me, "Shaving your beard is haram." And I said to him, I said, "Sayyidi, it doesn't grow." And he said, "Khalas, labas. Then don't worry about it." But it's like, if you would have asked me to fly to the moon, even though I can't fly, or run to the furthest extent of the world, what an amazing, like, that's how you give people advice. And it was just his concern, his care. He didn't want anyone else to know. He could have just said it and no one would have heard. No one was around. But he even like moved physically closer. And it was like such a merciful that way that he was looking at me. And then it's like, you just accept advice like that. And then when I said, you know, that it doesn't grow, he's like, "Khalas, labas, labas." So our Prophet had the most beautiful of all beards, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His blessed beard was full and dense, and his cheeks were smooth, and that they were neither high upon his blessed face nor protruding. A thin line of hair, his mouth was wide, and between his blessed front teeth was a slight space. And so this is a literal description of his blessed wide mouth that, of course, was proportionate to the remaining part of his blessed face, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it also is an indication of his eloquence. And between his blessed front teeth was a slight space. So that he'd have a slight little space between his that two front teeth. And when he would speak, that a light would be seen emanating from them. Everything about our Prophet ﷺ was nurani, was luminous. A thin line of hair ran from his blessed chest to his navel. So we've taken that before. We know that from here, from his chest to his navel, there was a thin line of hair. His blessed neck was like that of an ivory statue, as resplendent as silver. And here that they even mentioned the commentaries that there are different types of that metals and that things that you could have used to that are sparkling or shiny more. But they say that the one who is narrating this is doing the very best that they can, given what it is that they knew. And when it's about ivory in its smoothness and in terms of that when it's polished, that how shiny it is, not in terms of its color. And this is why that what came after that was that referring to it being like silver. We've already spoken about his color, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we don't liken his color to ivory. He was rather fair-skinned and with luminous skin that had a tint of redness to it. As resplendent as silver. No. And I'm just going to read this note, number 53. Imam Bajuri notes that there are minerals and gems which are more radiant than ivory, such as crystal. So why did Hind describe the Prophet's blessed neck as being like ivory? He suggests that Hind used the word ivory because it was familiar imagery to the people of that time. As opposed to other precious metals, Hind also intended to go to the greatest lengths possible in describing the Prophet's dazzling beauty in sublime form, yani based upon what it is that they knew. His physique was evenly proportioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here that Imam Bajuri says refers to everything that preceded and everything that will come after it in terms of its description. His whole physique and all of his body parts were evenly proportioned. He was well built and firm. And so that he was strong and maintained his strength even to his that latter days. And there's a note here, and we just took this recently in the Ihya. Towards the end of his days, his blessed body became heavier, so he was that more full, but his flesh was almost as firm as it was in his early years, unharmed by age, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His blessed chest and stomach were even with each other. His blessed chest and shoulders were broad, and his blessed joints were proportionately large. His blessed limbs that were unclothed shone brightly. And you could also translate this, his blessed limbs that were without hair shone brightly. Besides the thin line of hair that ran from his blessed upper chest to his navel, neither his breast nor his stomach had hair. His blessed arms, shoulders, and upper chest, however, had hair. So the prophet had hair on his upper chest. He had hair that from here going down. Then he had hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on his blessed arms and his shoulders. He had long forearms and wide palms, in full flesh, sturdy hands and feet. His blessed fingers and toes were long and well proportioned. Or you could translate this, or he said his blessed fingers and toes were not crooked or bulging based upon the different way that the word that the narrator here used. The sa'il al-atrafu, sha'il al-atraf, it would be translated in those two different ways. And he had a slight arch in the soles of his blessed feet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So that his feet weren't completely fat, flat, nor did they have high arches. He had that a slight arch to his feet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. His blessed feet were smooth, such that water could run right off them if poured. So now we've made our way down to the description of his blessed feet, which are that greatest feet in existence, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet had nice, smooth, beautiful feet. And oftentimes people's feet from walking, it's very common to have that broken toenails and that cracks in the feet and all these different types of things. But our Prophet's feet, despite walking on them, were extremely smooth and very beautiful. And to the extent that they were so smooth that water could run off them if poured. This is also the description in general of his skin. His skin was very like silky. So you know how some of us, if we take showers, and here you see these signs even around here, if there's hard water, they want you to buy a water softener to make your water softer. That hard water, and when you've, especially if you put soap on and wash it off, it doesn't flow over your body very easily. Whereas the Prophet's skin, it was like silky smooth water, flowed over it very easily. And then we have a description of his blessed walk. When he walked, he would lift his blessed feet with a vigor, and when he would lean forward slightly and would tread lightly. So the first part of this is, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا زَالَ زَالَ قَلَعًا, and meaning that there was a the determination when our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walked, he would walk with vigor, and he would direct himself to where it is that he was going. Now, when we say walking with vigor, in order to balance that out, we have these other descriptions. And that here, this was how he would put his blessed foot on the ground, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a very determined fashion as he's walking forward. And he's slightly leaning forward, not moving side to side. So when he walked, he would lift his blessed feet with vigor, okay? Would lean forward slightly and would tread lightly. So the Arabic there is wayamshi honan. So he didn't look like he was walking fast, but because it was as if the earth itself was folding up underneath him when he was walking. And so just think about if someone is that walking and the earth itself is, you know, kind of folding up underneath you, that you're going to be taking a step. And he naturally, as we said here, that he had a naturally long stride. So he wasn't trying to overexert himself. He had a naturally long stride. He's putting his feet down with vigor, but he is walking in the most beautiful and graceful way of all. And the earth is that being folded up underneath him, and that you see him that in this perfect harmony with everything that was around him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was also described, and when walking, it was as if he was descending from a height. And so this word that was used, وَيَمْشِي هَوْنًا. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنَ الَّذِي يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا. Allah speaks of the servants of the All-Merciful who that tread lightly on the earth, and that no one walked on the earth like the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then look at these beautiful descriptions. When he would turn to look at someone or something, he would turn with his whole body. So he was determined, he was walking straight, and we know that he would lower his gaze, he would look at the ground more than he would look at the sky. But despite that, if someone called him or someone needed him, he would turn completely to them, to give them his full blessed attention. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would lower his gaze, he would look at the ground more than he would look at the sky. And there are many different meanings to this. And as Imam Bajuri points out here, is that this is that better for us to that maintain that a heart that is gathered upon reflection, and to that protect the heart from that anything that will distract it. And then he says here as well, this is also because that he was sent to give tarbiyah and nurture the people on earth, that not those in heaven. And then we learn about his blessed glance. Most of his looking was from the corner of his blessed eye. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ would occasionally look at people and things and would not stare at them directly. This also means that most of his looking was thoughtful, reflective, and full of contemplation. It is also reported that Prophet ﷺ would see things at a vast distance as he would see them that were close. He would see behind him in the same way that he would see in front of him. And he would see in the night in the same way that he would see in the day. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine that if he just looked at you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, out of the corner of his eye, let alone if he gave you his full attention, and that in and of itself, and that, as I heard one of them say, kind of, that yes be, he would captivate the heart. If anyone that was ever that glanced at by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received that blessed divine gaze, that even from the corner of his eye, let alone that directly placing his blessed eyes in their direction, it would completely captivate their hearts. May Allah Ta'ala bless us to see the blessed eyes of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that he's pleased with us, inshallah ta'ala, and with complete following of him. He would have his companions walk in front of him and would initiate greetings of peace with whomever he met. So he wasn't someone who that wanted to be at the front and wanted to that people behind him to as a way of boasting. As on the contrary, is that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam كان يسوق أصحابه, and that he would walk behind them. يسوق أصحابه is mentioned here, and that he would also say, "Walk in front of me and leave my back for the angels." And that on the occasions when some of the camels would walk behind him during journeys around Medina, he would have them walk on his right and left side. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allah, mashallah. There's a beautiful note there that I encourage everyone to read. Note number 67, which has a number of other beautiful benefits in relation to this. And this is also that from his humility, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, just as it was also that so he could look after them. If you're behind your companions, that you can look after them and tend to their needs. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether someone was young, whether someone was old, he would begin people with salams and not expect people to be the first ones to greet him, even though he's the best of creation, teaching us this is how it is that we should be, and to show this humility and to resemble him and to follow him. May Allah Ta'ala bring our hearts to life with these blessed meanings, with these blessed descriptions, and to bless us, نتعلق به, may we know them, attach our hearts to them, and may they be a means to open up the doors for every single one of us to attain the highest degrees of closeness to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then prepare ourselves to attain high degrees of closeness to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in all of our affairs. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.